It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
We've been talking about car insurance, we've been talking about the issue of automotive coverage. And last week, you and Wes came up with a comment that really caught my attention, and it's related to uninsured motorists and underinsured motorists and the aspect of stacking.
Right.
So I'd like to, if we could revisit that for a moment, because I think that term stacking is important for the audience to hear and to remember.
Well, good morning, Lockwood.
Good morning to you as well.
Absolutely.
We said good morning before the program started.
We did, but we'll do our on-air good morning. Right.
Yeah.
Our on-air good morning.
Our audio courtesies. Yeah, that's right.
Lockwood, just to review a bit, for our listeners that maybe weren't tuned in last week, is that, North Carolina, statutorily, by law, if you will, requires that every vehicle on the open highway have what is known as, minimum liability coverage. And the minimum liability coverage in our state is $30,000, liability coverage for bodily injury, for the car.
Mm-hmm.
$60,000 is bodily injury or personal injury to your person collectively. In other words, the aggregate.
Right.
If two or more people are injured, then the insurance company liability policy would not pay more than $60,000 aggregate to any number of people. And lastly, $25,000 of property damage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are the minimum coverage, minimum limits. And the law requires that we carry these minimum limits on our car, Lockwood. And I think our listeners know that you have to present your insurance card if you get stopped by, a policeman. You have to present this kind of insurance certification, your insurance card, if you go to DMV and try to, get a new license plate, or you go and you get a driver's, all sorts of places, checks and balances in our system where we have to show that we have these minimum limits. What happens, of course, is that many times an accident will occur, Lockwood, and these minimum limits are not sufficient to cover the personal injury, the bodily injury to a person. I mean, $30,000 doesn't go very far in a serious accident.
And if you're looking at an aggregate total of 60,000, if you've got five people, that works out to 12. If everybody's injured equally, they all get $12,000.
Very minimum. And so what happens is that many people have what is known as underinsured motorist coverage, and their policy, let's say, might be something in the range of, say, $250,000, of bodily injury, okay? So the first $30,000 is paid by the primary liability carrier, and the other $220,000 is paid by your own underinsured motorist policy.
Okay.
That's what we call underinsured. There's also uninsured, which is just for those few, to cover you for those few people out there that don't have insurance at all. Then your policy at home would pay the full $250,000.
Right.
Okay. Because the first $30,000 isn't there.
Right.
Now, the issue of stacking evolves, Lockwood, in the context of, let's say that you have more than one car in your home. In your household, and each car is on a different policy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you are allowed to use each policy limits. So if you have two cars at your home and they both carry $250,000 of underinsured motorist coverage, and if the bodily injury amounts to those kinds of numbers, then you're able to not only get the $250,000 from the first policy, but the $250,000 from the second policy, or from the third policy, or from the fourth policy. And this, of course, is known as stacking.
That caught my attention last week, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, all the more reason why my wife and I have different insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
It probably is a few pennies more expensive. Maybe not. I'll have to go, not going to worry about it. But the nice thing about this is Because this is instances where we don't have control of the circumstance. The underinsured or the uninsured motorist,
mm-hmm.
somebody steals a car, underage, and they create an accident. I'm seriously injured. I'm out of luck.
You are, unless you have this coverage.
Unless we have this coverage.
Right.
And the nice thing about this is the stacking capacity. That caught my attention. I'll tell you that.
There's more nuances to this, Lockwood. It can get very interesting, like so many things we lawyers work on. Okay. Now, first of all, from a lawyer's perspective, you know, don't put all your cars in your garage under one policy. Now, you know, I mean, come on. We're not going to go live our life according to what the lawyer says on talk radio, are we? But if you have it under one policy, then the one policy is going to have its limits, and that's it. Okay, so for instance, you alluded to the fact that, you know, you're with State Farm, let's say, and wife is with Progressive, or you're with Nationwide, and wife is with, you know, whatever company. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a mighty good thing from the issue of stacking, okay? You know, because the policies are separate and distinct policies, and you or your wife or any member of your household, which we're going to get to in a minute, that nuance about members of the household, okay, are going to be able to utilize each and every one of those policies. They're going to each be analyzed, and each of those insurance companies could very likely have to pay a claim. So if this, you have more than one car, and if you have it just on one policy, then it makes sense that only that one policy is going to be applicable, and that one policy is going to have its limits, its UM limits of 250, and that's all you're going to be able to obtain.
And we go back to this issue of the minimums. It's even if the individual causing the accident has more than minimums, quite often they don't have levels much probably higher than $500,000. And in this day and age of medical technology, that's a good entry point, $500,000. But you could have serious injury, and the whole purpose of this uninsured or underinsured is to protect me.
That's correct.
And I like to point out, it's always all about me anyhow.
I don't know about that, Lockwood. I've known you a long time.
But this is...
Yes.
Last week, really, I mean, that was an eye-opening moment when you said you can stack these policies. Yeah. I think it's important people think about that.
Now, let's go further. We talk about the fact that we have these different policies. You know, one policy maybe by husband, another policy with wife. But let's say that you have, a grandchild. Uh-huh. That is residing at your home or spending considerable amount of time at your home. This is not unusual this day and time. You are an aunt or an uncle, and your nephew you have taken your nephew or your niece under your wing. Does this sound familiar, listeners? In our culture right now, in our economy, Lockwood, we have a lot of this going on. One of my dearest and closest people in my family right now, it's not a family member, but just such a sweet friend of our family for 50 years or more. You know, her grandchild he's 34 years old, but he has moved into her home. Okay. That's where he's having to be right now. Well, you know, now she is involved in an accident. Mm-hmm. She, the grandmother. Okay, but her grandson on a different and distinct policy of insurance is spending a considerable amount of time in her home. We are able as her lawyer to look at his policy. Okay.
Wow.
Correct.
This is okay. This is all part of that stacking.
Correct.
And I think, I guess I gather the pivotal issue is being in the household and the length of time in that household. Is there some sort of limit on that?
Well, it's an issue of fact, issue of fact.
All right.
But if there is, it's not like there's a time, like as you just questioned, just asked, was six months. It's not as if it's that defined. But whether or not there's a significant tie, to that residence and, you know, how much time, not only how many nights, but, you know, where, what does that person consider their residence to be? What is the relationship, economically and socially between the person residing in that house and the person who's making the claim? And it is not, you know, these cases, this law in North Carolina, some of the cases are, I would say that this is somewhat liberally construed, actually, okay. Lockwood. Okay.
All right. We're talking with Cecil Harvell this morning. Let's Talk Legal, brought to you by Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. The right advice at the right time. I haven't even given out the number. If you'd like to, you can call in 800-818-2255. 800-818-2255, 910 area code 353-4674, and that 252 area code 247-7282. I'll give you their office number here in a few minutes. Harvell and Collins. And by the way, the website, Harvell and A-N-D, harvellandcollins.com. We're talking auto insurance. We're talking the legal ramifications of that this morning with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. And again, to remind you, they're attorneys at law, Harvell and Collins, the right advice at the right time. And the website, by the way, harvellandcollins.com, where you can hear this program recorded again, and you can just go log on to their website.
So, Lockwood, you begin to see the importance of the way in which a good lawyer is going to ask and interview and solicit over even a course of time all of the facts and circumstances. It would be remiss of a lawyer not to ask someone who's been involved in an accident. You know, well, you know, where are your granddaughters and grandsons? Mm-hmm. Where are your nieces and nephews? Where are your children? Have there been any friends who have been going through an illness? You know, children go through a divorce. Many times the child will go live with their parents for a period of time through the adjustment. We are aware of these, you know, kind of facts of life, if you will, Lockwood. Many of us open up our home for whatever reason to family and sometimes even dear and special friends if they are going through a difficult time. Then, of course, there just happens to be an accident. Okay, and so the issue of stacking has to be looked at very, very carefully by the lawyer. Because are there any other members in the home place that might have a policy of insurance as well, where the terms of that policy might be applicable and might apply?
You know, related to this, and I go back to the comment earlier, is we have control over the amount of liability insurance we place on our own vehicles. We are in control of that circumstance. We have no control over that of the other party in the automobile accident, and should that other party be liable. And I want to go to that topic here in a few minutes, just real quickly on that, and that's contributory negligence, things of that nature. But should they be liable, and yet they don't have adequate insurance to cover my medical expenses, or maybe no insurance whatsoever, my only recourse is the underinsured or the uninsured. That's my only recourse. So it's one of those situations where we need to take control of our destiny, if you will.
There's just no question about that, Lockwood, because, you know, $30,000 a person or $60,000 in aggregate is just really,
$30,000 will cover some of the testing, and that's about it.
It's just not gonna work. And of course, so absolutely, we all need to look at our policies and, look at these issues and be aware of exactly how they apply in our life.
Now, the other topic, and we touched on just briefly, and I know that North Carolina is one of, I think, three states that has the concept of contributory negligence. Is that the right description of it?
It does. And Wes and I actually, I'm going to address that right now a bit, Lockwood, but next week we're going to do a program just on contributory negligence and some of the, you know, counter arguments to contributory negligence, which is the famous last clear chance. So, you know, we'll talk about the historical precedent of these ideas and exactly what they mean. But absolutely, most states, just to introduce that topic a bit, Lockwood, most states have what's known as comparative negligence.
Right.
We're not going to completely bar someone for recovery because of the fact that, they were, 10% negligent, but the other person was 90% negligent.
Right, right.
We'll look at that, all across the board, and maybe there will be some apportionment of damage, if you will. That seems to be, kind of the reasonable approach to things. Our listeners probably maybe think that that's actually the way it is. Well, North Carolina, we're such a great state, and we really are. But we have never changed our law, in terms of contributory negligence, and contributory negligence in the state of North Carolina is therefore a complete bar to recovery. You can be 1% negligent, okay, and it can therefore bar the other 99%.
Whoa. All right. We'll just tease this for next week. I think folks need to pay attention to that.
Absolutely. We'll go into more detail on that and how that applies.
Wow.
Because some folks will say that, look, Cecil and Wes, we understand that that's the law, but you know as well as I know, when you get over there in the superior courtroom, you alligators, and you're talking to a jury, the jury more or less is going to disregard that 99%, 1% thing. It's going to determine that, such and such was liable.
Okay. All right.
That, in all fairness, maybe he was going a little bit over the speed limit. Maybe he had not slowed down because, there were markers in the road. Maybe the weather was not applicable, was not completely adhered to. But the bottom line is, that truck pulled right out in front of him. Okay. Ran the stoplight. Okay. And as a result of that, this fella really, the guy who ran the stoplight really is negligent. And they were kind of, adjust the law, if you will. But the charge to the jury from the judge, from the Superior Court judge, is of course going to be and most definitely as pressed by the defense lawyer, it's going to be, of course, look, jury, if you find that the plaintiff was somewhat negligent, any degree of negligence, then that is a complete bar. What the jury does with that is up to the jury. And so we'll talk more about that. Right. I think our listeners know that I'm not the litigator in the law firm.
But that this is an issue to pay close attention to.
Fascinating. Absolutely.
Cecil Harvell, our guest this morning, Let's Talk Legal. And just to remind you, if you wish, you can hear this program and many of the other programs they've conducted on this and other variety of issues at their website, harvellandcollins.com. That's harvellandcollins.com. Also, you can reach them via phone at 726-9050. That's 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. Also associated with their firm, and we'll be talking with Andrew Foster later this week. Andrew Foster, who also provides tax services as well. Let's Talk Legal, of course, brought to you by Harvell and Collins, the right advice at the right time. We were just chatting here a moment ago. We won't get into the details, but
Well, Lockwood, I'm sitting here with you. You're such a creative guy, and I'm thinking to myself, we should offer at Harvell and Collins some legal checkup
every year.
You do at your physician.
Every year.
Where you go in, you're healthy at your physician's office, but you still get, a medical checkup once a year. The same is true, with your legal world. We have to take our legal responsibilities seriously. Do we have a power of attorney? What are the underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage limits on our policy? Who are the beneficiary designations of our life insurance, our IRAs, our annuities? How are our accounts registered? Are they joint with right of survivorship or are they not? And what should they be? There's a whole laundry list of things that really we see each and every day in our office that our listeners, I wish so much that our public would take more responsibility for their legal life. You know, because it is important. These things are critically important. And if you don't take control, then of course, you know, then we are.
You're relying on, right. In some instances, the clerk of court.
Correct.
The other aspect of this, going back to the uninsured and underinsured, you have no idea if that car coming at you is adequately covered for liability purposes. Well, the car may be, but is the driver? That's the other issue too. And you now have to worry about all of the intrigues associated with that.
Correct.
And in the midst of it all, you, the injured party, are trying to recover.
Right.
And amidst all of the recovery, the pain, the discomfort, you now have to worry about, you know, the legal issues, the financial issues, what steps are being taken by your lawyers, what are the response by the other parties, attorneys and representatives.
Is there a health care power of attorney in effect? What if there is not? Okay, what if there is no health care power of attorney and we're critically injured in some way? Or just temporarily injured, but injured significantly to the point that we are, you know, unconscious or whatever. Who is going to sign for the surgery?
That's a good question. I'm curious about the issue of stacking. Is that a decision that, that I, as the injured party, have to make? Or in the case of a health power of attorney or someone with a power of attorney, can they say, okay, we're going to stack all these? Do they tell you that?
Under the durable power of attorney, the financial power of attorney, Lockwood, if for some reason one of the grants of authority that we all should have in our durable power of attorney is the authority of our agent, our attorney, in fact, under our durable power of attorney to pursue our legal claims.
And our
to compromise them, settle them, to have the right to all of our policy information, and to be able to stand in our place with regard to the pursuit of this lawsuit. If you do not have a durable power of attorney, then who is the insurance company going to respond to? And you know who they're going to respond to? To the then legally appointed guardian. Which is, as you said, you're putting your fate in the hands of the court, which is not a bad thing necessarily, but certainly a very tragic thing to have to do when a family is attempting to, you know, get a relative back, healthy and on their feet again. There's no durable power of attorney. And the next thing you know, they're over at the clerk of court's office having to have an adjudication of incompetency and guardianship in order to get the legal authority in order to begin to settle the insurance claims.
And by the way, related to incompetency, if you're in a coma, it's not a matter of you don't have the mental capacity. The point of the matter is you're in a state where you cannot actually participate.
Yes.
All right. Harvell and Collins, by the way, the location, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City, harvellandcollins.com, 252 area code 726-9050. And also to remind you, go to their website, harvellandcollins.com, and they've also got an issue here I've got to talk to them about a little later on related to the CNN story. All right, Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station.
Cool.